My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. Today I'll be talking to Peter Eddington, longtime operation manager for Media and Communication Services. He's also an elder and is a regular speaker in our congregations. Welcome back to Inside United, Peter.
Hey, thank you, Vic. Appreciate being here again.
There's an article that you wrote here not too long ago. Actually, it's just right now out for distribution. This article was about, frankly, depression and suicide. But what really struck me about this article is that it wasn't just lamenting about the condition of so many people in this world, mentally and psychologically, but also had some solutions that were very, very helpful and solutions to think about. So, Peter, that kind of gives me an introduction here to the subject, because suicide, just from the standpoint of statistics, is very, very sobering. 800,000 people every year in the world commit suicide. And in the U.S., it's over 48,000, pushing 50,000 people who end their life by themselves.
Yeah. So at the home office, we've been receiving a lot of email the past 12 months or so from people that are depressed, that are anxious, and that are saying they're going to commit suicide. And in letters and examples sent out to our brethren and ministry, I've even highlighted some of those letters that we've received, especially before the holidays when we have the offerings and we like to see where the work is going. So I highlighted some of those letters from people that are struggling, filled with depression, hopelessness, pain. And many of them are reaching out to us for help and answers. So I decided to give a sermon on the subject. I called it Help for the Brokenhearted. And there's a reason for that title, which I'd like to touch on later in the podcast, where that term comes from Scripture. But then we had the COVID-19 crisis. We had the economic downturn. And so it was decided to make the cover story of the July-August issue about this topic. And it was called Hope and Help for the Brokenhearted, because we have seen an uptick now in anxiousness, depression, and suicide, not just in the United States, but in other countries around the world, as people are dealing with this new normal that everybody keeps talking about. So that's what got me going on the subject, was just how much we had been receiving into our church inbox from people that have been depressed. Let me read you just a couple.
Sure.
If God gave me life, and God also gave me the ability to take it away, and I decide to take my life in the hopes of finding happiness and relief, would it be a sin? Can I be forgiven? What would happen to my soul? Here's another one. I've tried committing suicide. And you get an email like that, right? And you go, wow. And I'm set in my mind that God will not forgive me and that I'm going to hell. Is there any way that maybe I can be forgiven? I'll just read one more. You know, we've got dozens of them. How do I get through the death by suicide of my best friend? She was suffering from depression. She loved life. We did much together. This is so hard to get through. And so that's what got me going on this sermon topic and then the article topic. Just the uptick in the frequency of these kind of messages that we've been receiving.
But also, Peter, you were telling me that you had a special interest in this. You had joined some kind of a group.
I'd actually taken some classes in how to help people deal with suicide and how to identify suicidal tendencies and how to get them towards the right kind of help. And so I've got some thoughts on that later, too, and what to do if someone is suicidal, how to best deal with that situation. We can talk about that as we move forward.
What are some examples of depression that we find in the Scriptures?
One that I think people immediately go to is the story of Job. He lost it all, his wife, his kids, his family, his home. he was destroyed, and God allowed Satan to afflict righteous Job with the loss of his family and virtually everything he owned, and then attacked his body with painful boils. And we find out later in the story that this was all for a grander purpose. But at first, you think, what on earth is God allowed to happen here? In Job chapter 3, though, let me read to you. Job says, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine above it. And then in verse 20 of Job 3, why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Job wanted to die. He'd had enough. And why should he rejoice in the day he was born? And so that's, you know, an excellent example. Here was a faithful man's deep depression. And Job longed for death there in verse 21 of Job chapter 3. And we find similar stories in our modern day. You know, some that I read here at the beginning of the podcast have examples of our own readers that are struggling with depression and even suicidal thoughts. Some other examples. You asked for some other examples. Here's one, and that is King Saul. God's spirit left Saul when he sinned and would not repent. God's spirit departed from Saul, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And that caused him deep distress. It said it was a distressing spirit from the Lord that troubled him. Basically, when God's spirit leads you, it does lead to, you know, not seeing life straight and becoming depressed and distressed. Saul became rejected by God. And the departure of God's spirit left him in a terrible spiritual, mental, and emotional state. It's the Holy Spirit that helps people have a sound mind. And from the beginning, Saul was a man that had a certain character weakness, and this only made it worse. And so there's an example of the first real king of Israel, King Saul, going through depression. Elijah, when set upon by Jezebel, after Elijah had killed all the prophets, said, well, she was going to do the same to him now. And he fled. And she said, if I do not make your life as a life of one of those prophets by tomorrow at this time. That's in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah arose and he ran for his life. And in 1 Kings 19 verse 4, he says, I've had enough. Now, Lord, take my life. He said, I've had it.
Now, Peter, you know, these are things about that we can look from a distance at people's examples. But one thing we want to do with our listeners and the people we write to, including ourselves, I think we have all gone through periods in our lives, you know, where we have really had enough of something, where we could go no further. And I know it's happened in my life. I know that, you know, those of us who preach these things, you know, talk about how we have gone through them. I believe that our listeners would really like to hear some, how does this apply to them and how they can walk through path to wellness.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Jonah. Of course, he wished death for himself. But the contrast to that is actually the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was beaten and left for dead. I think they thought he was dead when they left him in the dirt. The Apostle Paul had a powerful way of turning people to God, to hope, to the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what we have to do today as well. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In Philippians, he says, I press toward the goal, even though I feel, you know, that I'm set upon. And so that's where we have to turn as well, is to the example of the Apostle Paul and some of the other faithful men of God in the Bible, and look to God, because there is something beyond all this. No matter the situation you're in, no matter the depression that you found yourself a part of, there is a way out. And that is through the gospel message, through forgiveness, through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and then ultimately the kingdom of God and the resurrection. So that's where I try to help people look.
So that when we're faced with death, this is an expression I heard one time in a sermon that I have never forgotten. When faced with death, think life. Because you win every way in that scripture. You either work your way through it in this present life, or if whatever happens, not by yourself, you know, the next step we have is eternity with God, eternal life.
Yeah. Now, when we look at the faithful servants of God, we find that none of them actually took their life.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples of ungodly men that took their own life.
Judas.
Judas is a good example, and there are others. But faithful men of God, nobody actually did it. And so we could get to that point later, you know, and ask the question, is suicide actually wrong? And look at some biblical examples there. You said yes, fine, these are old people in the Bible like Job that had that issues and Jonah and, you know, King Saul. But what about today? It is a real problem. You mentioned at the beginning of the podcast some of the statistics that people are dealing with in the U.S. especially. 2017, more than 47,000 Americans died by suicide. And 1.4 million adults attempted it.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And there's a national suicide prevention hotline that answered more than 2.2 million calls last year.
And one thing that really is a very troubling statistic, which I don't have in front of me, is how many children attempt suicide. Oh. How many children actually, one who left a note, I just want to see what it's like to be dead.
Yeah. So for adults aged 18 to 65, it's a greater killer than motor vehicle accidents or homicides even. But among children, it's increasing at an alarming rate. The National Mental Health Association reports that among children ages 5 to 15, suicide is the 6th leading cause of death. So even our kids may struggle with this. So there was a newspaper report just yesterday that my wife Terry pointed out to me. A 7 or 8 year old kid committed suicide here in Cincinnati. So yeah, who knows? But it is definitely an issue. It's definitely a problem. And so maybe I should. You talked about our own brethren, our own readers and viewers. Think of it this way: if there are alcoholics in our city, then you know there are people in the church dealing with alcoholism. Now, hopefully, at a lesser rate, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But if there are people who are poor, living in poverty in our town, then you know there are some in our congregation who are having financial difficulties. If there are marriage problems plaguing our country, then you know there's relationship issues in the church between husbands and wives. And if there's depression in our world, you know that to varying degrees there's depression, anxiety, and broken hearts amongst our brethren. In fact, after I gave the sermon 6 months ago, I had a number of people write to me, call me, come up to me after church and say, yes, I've been dealing with depression, or my wife killed herself, or my son is no longer with us. It's more prevalent than you might think.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that those of us in the ministry, you know, we have talked to people and we talk to the surviving mate, whatever, and it's sobering to hear what they said about the last months or the last year or so with their mate. And perhaps if we could find some of those signs, we could help. And we would like to be able to pull people out of the fire and pull people out of doing something which is so, you can't bring it back. Once you die, you can't just say, oh, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, and it actually begins usually with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Often builds over time, gets worse and worse, and deep depression is usually where it starts. But suicide can be the end result of financial reverse. You know, we've got the economic downturn right now.
Mm-hmm.
A romantic failure, childlessness, or maybe the discovery of a terminal illness. But the majority of suicidal deaths trace back to one major reason, and it's usually deep, debilitating depression. And depression is not just feeling sad one day. It's a chronic problem that someone is dealing with in a major way. It's a serious, long-lasting despondency. You hear that word, despondent? Mm-hmm. He's despondent. A feeling of hopelessness. It's not just discouragement or having the blues. This kind of depression that leads to suicide is very, very serious. Estimates are that 1 in 10 Americans suffer from chronic depression.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 10. So we got, you know, 40, 50 people here work at the home office. Maybe 3 or 4 of them are dealing with depression.
Mm-hmm.
Just statistically. And it's the same in other countries. In fact, some countries are worse than the United States because of the living conditions are so much more harsh or severe. It goes back to PTSD, to anxiety, depression. They're real problems that people are dealing with.
But some of them are not even necessarily linked to economics. There are some people who have been very wealthy, very, very prominent. We've had some suicides in these last few years of famous people who did television.
Comedians who make us laugh.
Right. And then you find out that they lived a dark life.
Yes.
And is it two lives? Is it something that they could manage? Or was that comedic side of them their part of their therapy?
People like Robin Williams.
Right.
And he, I guess it's since become known since he died that he was dealing with a serious health condition that affected his mind. Mm-hmm. And it was eating away at his brain. And he said, I'm just going to end it. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how famous mm-hmm. you are, how unknown you are. Mm-hmm. It affects all parts of society, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
You know, one thing, Peter, I have worked with people in Africa, actually in the poorest countries of the world, Malawi, Zambia, you know, which are been rated third and fourth poorest in the world. And then I have worked in countries like Norway and Sweden, which have some of the highest standards of living in the world. And actually, I have found darkness in the people in the richest countries that seems to be even more than what they have to deal with in a society where they have other things that care for them, their families, and they find other values.
There's a place in the world where the rich and famous like to go when they retire and build huge estates in the beautiful environment with beautiful fjords and lakes and beautiful ocean beaches. The Hollywood elites have bought a lot of property there. People escape. It's almost like the place of safety to some people. And if there's ever a nuclear holocaust, this will be the last place to be affected. But this place actually has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. It's New Zealand.
Really?
It's New Zealand. A pristine, beautiful place, expensive to live, but that's where they go. It's where they think all their problems will be solved. Get out of Hollywood, get out of California, buy up a big property, build a mansion, and just retire. But for some reason, it doesn't solve their problems either. It hasn't solved the emptiness that they've found in their life. But yeah, New Zealand has a very high suicide rate, and that's where people think they can go to escape it.
Well, some other countries, you know, I've mentioned Norway, Sweden, Finland, you know, have very high standards of living, but they also have high levels of depression and alcoholism because people find that once they kind of come to a state of having everything that they could possibly want or, you know, well into it, there seems to be something missing, that it's not all there. After they have gotten another boat or, you know, when you go into the Norway fjord, for example, you have almost 100 miles of expensive property and beautiful terrain. You say, this is idyllic. This is the kingdom of God. And yet, many of those people are not happy.
Depressed. Now, here's the problem with depression. 4 out of 5 people who are severely depressed do not seek help. And that's because there's a stigma attached to it. They're embarrassed to seek help, to acknowledge that they're depressed, that they haven't been able to manage things, that they haven't been able to control their life. And one reason, I think the primary reason men do not seek help is because it's seen as not being masculine enough. Emotions are seen as a feminine thing. And so men don't want to let anybody know they're dealing with depression. So 4 out of 5 people will not seek help. But here's the encouraging part, that 1 out of 5 that do seek help almost always pull through then with the right help, with the right medical guidance, perhaps some medicines that will help them correct things. Maybe they have an imbalance in the chemicals in their brain. They get some help that way. Various, you know, and there's therapies as well. But 1 out of 5 who seek help pull through almost 100%. But 4 out of 5 don't want to get that help, and that's then where they sink deeper. And so that's where you look to. You're talking about in Norway, people have their yachts and they're rich and their private planes, but they're still not happy and they don't know why, and there's something missing. That's what the Apostle Paul then points people towards.
Mm-hmm. And if you have everything and there's something still missing, there's nothing more to really go for. That could bring despondency.
Let me give you an example of a positive story that we received about suicide. This was an email we received from Ireland. "I have left the Jehovah's Witness," he says, "so many contradictions in their Bible teaching. I'm looking and watching your TV program. I live in Dublin, Ireland, and you have a church near me. I'm living alone. But my two best friends died this year. 2 years ago, my niece committed suicide, and I'm so lonely. But I find comfort in your teaching. Thank you so much for your help." So it goes back to the Word of God. That's where you truly find comfort. And that's what we try to do with people that we're counseling, that we're writing to, that we're reaching out to. And it's giving some hope beyond this life and comfort beyond this. Hopefully we're doing, you know, better at it as we go forward. Well, it's a challenge.
I think that, Peter, we'll end it right here for part one. We talked about the problems associated with suicide here in this part. I'd like to continue more with some solutions, and we'll continue that in part two.
Sounds good. Thank you, Vic.
So thank you for joining us on Inside United. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org. We've been getting more and more emails coming in, and we appreciate suggestions for new programs. And also, we would like to hear your impressions of this podcast as well. You can find us on the ucg.org website. Go to the main menu bar and click or tap on podcast. Or you can reach us through your favorite app on Apple or on Android. So thank you for joining us. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.